Marlo, I've been pondering as of late the amazing God that we serve. I can't believe we are sitting here. Where are we at the moment, Marlo?
Well, we're in the Avenue of the Giants.
Wow.
Surrounded by redwood trees.
I believe our viewers can see this and see how tall, if they can just see how tall, it's difficult to explain. Eh?
I think you have to be here to really appreciate this beauty.
Yeah. And who created this? You know, who is the creator of these magnificent giants? This is the first time, by the way, that I see trees of this nature. Eh? It is amazing.
Yeah. It's my first time as well. I haven't seen anything as tall as this, anything as wide as this. It's spectacular.
It's beautiful.
And yeah, some people believe this was here by pure chance.
Yeah. This is the work of evolution over millions of years. What a lie have we been told, eh?
It's in all the classrooms when you get to a school. The only thing they teach is evolution. In all of the handbooks, it's evolution, evolution, evolution. You do not have an alternative to it.
Yeah.
You don't know about the alternative.
Yeah, and truth has been completely removed from every institution. You know, everywhere we are, you know, it's just been removed. And Satan has made it his life's mission to distort the character of God.
Mm.
You know, his character can be seen in nature. And I definitely see it. And the way you feel when you're in nature and just the level of worship you can attain, you know, when you're in nature as well, it just proves that there is a creator out there.
And to think this is damaged by sin.
Hmm.
So how majestic it would have been when there was no sin on this world.
Correct. Even prior to the flood, you know, these trees were said to be hundreds of meters high. I mean, these trees are around, I think this is a redwood. So I think the tallest tree is around 83 meters, 83.
Well, there's one that fell, and they say the total length of that one was 375 feet.
Wow. That's tall. That's over 100 meters.
Over 100, yeah.
No, this is, one needs to experience this once in our lifetime.
I have a quote for us from Patriarchs and Prophets, and it talks about how the world looked. And it says, "As the earth came forth from the hand of its maker, it was exceedingly beautiful. Its surface was diversified with mountains, hills, and plains, interspersed with noble rivers and lovely lakes.
But the hills and mountains were not abrupt and rugged, abounding in terrific steeps and frightful chasms as they now do. The sharp, ragged edges of Earth's rocky framework were buried beneath the fruitful soil, which everywhere produced a luxuriant growth of verdure. There were no loathsome swamps or barren deserts. Graceful shrubs and delicate flowers greeted the eye at every turn. The heights were crowned with trees more majestic than any that now exist. The air, untainted by foul miasma, was clear and healthful. The entire landscape outvied in beauty the decorated grounds of the proudest palace. The angelic host viewed the scene with delight and rejoiced at the wonderful works of God.
Must have been amazing. I mean, we only know what we see today. Now, we know Adam, he was, we don't know how tall exactly he was, but he was more, in White actually says, more than twice the height of people of today. Yeah. And it must have been magnificent. And the new earth is, the new earth is said to be even more glorious than Eden was when we returned.
I can't wait for that day.
That's it, yeah. So, we haven't prayed. So let's start off with prayer, and then we just dig in a little deeper.
Sounds good.
We dig in a bit deeper about our Creator. Okay. Dear Jesus, our Lord, we are in a magnificent place. We are here where the redwood trees reach for the skies. We thank you for everything that you've made. Thank you that you've created us and that you've given us life. Lord, we love you. And while we're sitting here, we can only ponder over your creation and the works that you've done for us. And help us to have a good conversation today and allow the Spirit to lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. Why don't we start? We just read Psalm 8. Psalms 8. We can read the whole chapter. It's a short one. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth.
Wow. I just want to quickly mention here in verse 5, where it says, and hath crowned him with glory and honor. If you look at evolution, you don't really have a purpose in life.
No.
You're here because of chance. You're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. It's only the here and now.
Yeah.
And this says that you have been crowned with glory and honor. You have
glory.
A purpose.
Yes. He's got a purpose for every one of us. We are important. We're not just going through the cycles of life, you know? Some believe in reincarnation. That's what Satan said to Eve as well. You know, you will not die. You will surely not die. Mm-hmm. No, but he said if the person who sins will die. And he said, no, you will not die. So that's why people believe in have all these different views in reincarnation and hell and all these issues. But the focus is not on the Creator, God who created heaven and earth. It says in Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. For 6 days, he created, and the seventh day, he rested. So that on the seventh day, we can get to know him, and we can spend time with him, and we can understand him, and know more about his character, and learn more about his creation. And what has Satan done? What did Cain do? You know, Cain went out and he started building. He was the builder. Hey, he started building, and then Enoch, not the righteous Enoch, and they were all builders, and they diverted attention and focus away from creation. And that's why we're sitting here today. This is where we should be. This is where we feel at home, you know, in his creation.
Yeah. So it brings the question to mind, why were we created?
Yeah. Why did God create us? We read in Conflict and Courage, this is one example or one reason. God created man for his own glory, that after test and trial, the human family might become one with the heavenly family. It was God's purpose to repopulate heaven with a human family if they would show themselves obedient to his every word. Why does God need to repopulate heaven? We know.
Oh, because Lucifer and the third of his angels were thrown out of heaven.
Thrown out of heaven. And we don't know exactly how many angels were thrown out, but we know the hosts of heaven are thousands upon thousands, 10,000s and 10,000s. So it must have been millions and billions, so that we could repopulate heaven and become part of his heavenly family. Hey?
And how much love is that? How much love does God bestow upon us? How much does he love us that he wants us to be a part of his family?
Yeah. Well, they created us in their image.
Yeah.
Now, that is spectacular. He created us to the best of his ability, you know, and so that we can be part of him.
Wow.
Only if we are obedient. Does that mean you better be obedient or else? We've done studies on this. It's not, you know, it's out of love. It's out of protection. That he wants us to be obedient. He doesn't want to lose us.
Yeah. You know? And he gives us a choice. We can decide what we want to do with it. And when we read in the ministry of healing, it says, nature testifies that one infinite in power, great in goodness, mercy, and love, created the earth and filled it with life and gladness.
So that was the initial purpose, not to have sin and unhappiness, to have gladness and life, life in abundance.
And everywhere you look, you have hate, depression, people who are unhappy.
Yeah.
And why is that? Why do you find people who are unhappy in this world?
Because they're not heeding to his precepts and he's then no longer obedient. They don't want to actually be surrounded with healthy and righteous things.
And they have lost hope.
That's
true. People in this world have lost hope.
They've lost hope.
And how can they regain that hope?
By knowing their Creator, understanding him, understanding his character, and understanding that what he wants for us is pure happiness. And they need to understand that they have been deceived by Satan. What he's putting forth, what he's giving them is on a platter, is what they think is happiness. That's what they think is happiness. And love. I mean, if you look at the movies out there, I mean, the licentiousness and all of that, that is true love in a Hollywood sense.
Yeah.
You know, and that is not true love. He has twisted the character of God and every attribute that God possesses. And we no longer understand what it truly means to be one and connected with God.
Yeah. Lust and love is confused with one another.
Very much intertwined in this world. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Also, I mean, that's one reason why God created man. And that's a good reason. But the other reason as well is sin originated in heaven with Lucifer. And it was important for God to have a mediator, so to speak. Someone who was impartial to and did not have knowledge of what happened in heaven, and someone who would act as a judge between the character of God and that of Satan. Yeah. And and to prove that God's law is in fact just and not burdensome.
Yeah.
That is, for me, it's always a very interesting one to consider. And that's why there's no one else in this universe, other worlds, anywhere in the universe, besides Jesus Christ, that has experienced sin and had to live through what we had to live through on earth and to be tempted. And that's why it says Jesus was tempted in all the ways that we have been tempted in. No one else knows how it is, not the angels. No one could die for us except God, you know? And Jesus Christ died for us because he also walked the path that we walk.
We're in this unique position. And when we get to heaven, the angels are going to ask us, how was it? And we can explain to them how we made it through. And it was only by the love of Jesus and his strength that carried us.
Yeah. They will have secondhand experience. They won't have first-hand experience. Yeah. It doesn't make us better. It just means that we really need to stay strong. Really need to fight through this. It's not easy. I mean, look at the people out there. We know it's going to be a handful of people. The 144,000, it's not going to be a large number, you know? I hope it is. I hope it's as many as possible. But the deception is deep. And it's our job to ensure that everyone out there understands who God is.
Well, it's when you look at the time of Noah, how many people populated the earth and only eight were
eight
saved?
Eight people, yeah. Eight people. We can go through through history. At the beginning, there were 12 tribes, only two tribes, Judah and Ephraim went ahead. How many of the crowd in Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar's reign, how many of them bowed down to the idol?
All except three of them.
We don't know how many there were on that platform.
And how hard was it for those three to keep on standing? When they were thrown in the oven, they didn't change their mind. They didn't change their beliefs.
They were completely one with God. Their faith was very strong, you know?
And how was it possible? Because they weren't confused by the devil, who gave a different character to God than what he now has.
Yeah.
Or what he's always had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect faith. Same with Daniel, lion's den. It's something we can't really comprehend.
Yeah.
The Colosseums and all of those, you know. And if you look at if you go down the timeline as well, you know, in Jesus's day, how many of the professed followers of God actually shouted, crucify him, crucify him. Hey, they would rather let a murderer and a thief, criminal, go. And then you get the Valdenses and the Reformed, the little bits and pieces here and there. Why is that so?
Because they were searching for truth. They were searching for who God really is. Are we going to follow what the world says, or are we going to investigate the Word of God?
Yeah.
And as we are reaching the end of this earth's history, what is our mission?
Our mission?
Yeah, what are we to do?
Our mission is to preach the three angels' messages. And if you look at this topic of God as our creator, it brings me to the first angel's message, where... Let's read it.
You know what? Yeah,
let's read it. Revelation 14.
14:6.
And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Before I go on, the everlasting gospel. It's Jesus Christ, everlasting, everlasting gospel.
Yeah. It means it's been the same since the beginning. It hasn't changed.
It hasn't changed. He does not change. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of waters.
Mm.
So this is interesting. It fear God and give glory to him. The hour of his judgment has come. Ooh, judgment. Again, there's that word. You know, and fear God. We know fear God means respect God, you know, love God, and give glory to him.
Mm.
Now, glory is the character. We have to become one with God, you know. I just want to read this passage here where we read about why did God create us. We read God created man for his own glory.
Mm.
Okay, for his own glory. And here it says, give him glory.
Mm.
So he wants our character to become one with his character.
And yeah.
That is what it essentially means. And the hour of his judgment has come. What does that mean?
People tend to see it's punishment, it's doom and gloom. But actually, it's happiness and glory because the righteousness of Christ is revealed in this.
It is.
If we accept Jesus, his righteousness covers us.
His righteousness covers us. Then the judgment won't mean anything. It doesn't, I mean, it won't hurt us. There's no fear.
Mm.
Actual fear in his judgment if we follow him and we obey him and we become one with him. That's what we don't understand. It's actually a judgment of love. Again, it's magnificent. And then it so beautifully intertwines this with a creative power of God. Hey, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea. Basically worship him who made man and everyone in this whole entire universe.
And you know what? As we read that verse number 7, it ties indirectly with Exodus 20, verse 8 to 11.
It does.
We can quickly read that as well. Exodus 20, verse 8 to 11.
20, verse 11. Do you want to read it for us?
I will. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. And here comes the verse that links it. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it.
So the seventh day, this is where we reflect. This is where Adam and Eve reflected on the work that God had done.
Yeah.
The creation. They were made on the sixth day.
Yeah.
So this is what connects us with God. This is his holy day that he has hallowed. Mm. This is his day, and this is the seal. Yes, the Holy Spirit is also the seal of God, but the Sabbath day is also connected to the seal of God.
Mm. Mm. And if people would have kept the seventh day, if they would have kept the Sabbath and worshipped their Creator, no one would have been confused in regards to creation, evolution.
No.
Which one is it?
We would have been one. We would have been rejoicing and worshiping God on one day, on the same day, every week for eternity.
Yeah.
And isn't that what Isaiah 66 is all about as well?
Mm.
We'll in heaven when we're back, we're going to go back to the roots of the Sabbath. From one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another, we'll be worshiping God. Not on separate days, not in different ways. Not in, you know, not the different denominations. There's not 20, 30, 40, or 10,000 or 20,000 ways to worship God.
Mm.
If you look at the word Babel, Bab-el, if you break it up, it's actually means own portal to heaven.
Mm.
That's interesting. It's through your own way, like Cain, and through the Nimrod. That's what Bab-el Babel, Tower of Babel stood for. I am going to build a tower, and I will make sure that we are protected from the wrath of God, you know, after he promised that he would not destroy through water again. Yeah. So,
yeah, it's not our own works that's going to get us to heaven.
No, no.
There's something special and unique about the Sabbath. You can't explain it to someone if they don't observe it themselves.
Yeah.
If you walk in nature and if you look at every single detail out there, your mind goes to God and you see what a magnificent God it is that had so much detail in this little thing that is tainted by sin, and yet it is still magnificent.
That's correct. And what is the purpose of the Sabbath for us on a physical level? It's rest. You know, Matthew 11 verse 28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That rest is Sabbath. That's what it means. It means rest. It's a physical rest. It's a mental rest. Why don't I work on a Sabbath day? Or, you know, why don't I do something that will divert my attention away from God? Because he is my rest. You know, a lot of people say, you don't have to keep the Sabbath day anymore. He is our rest. He is our rest. But he has a day that he is hallowed. That's the Sabbath day.
And when I was a teacher, I had one hectic week. I remember it as if it was yesterday. You would go out at 5:30 in the mornings and you would return late at night. And when that Sabbath came, and you can just forget about the whole week and focus on God, that tension, that weariness, it just disappeared. And you thought about God. And you had power, you had strength, and you were excited for the next week to come. A weekend isn't too short when you observe a Sabbath day.
And you're happy to obey your mom that day. That's what obey means.
I
mean, I'm happy to obey my wife or whatever, you know, in certain circumstances, because you're happy. You love that person. It's a spiritual rest, like I said, and a mental rest as well. You get time, you spend time with God, and you get to know him better every day. Every Sabbath. I think let's read a piece. It's a very nice piece. The importance of the Sabbath as the memorial of creation is that it keeps every present the true reason why worship is due to God. Because he is the creator and we his creatures, the Sabbath therefore lies at the very foundation of divine worship, for it teaches this great truth in the most impressive manner, and no other institution does this. The true ground of divine worship, not of that on the seventh day merely, but of all worship, is found in the distinction between the Creator and his creatures. This great fact can never become obsolete and must never be forgotten. It was to keep the truth ever before the minds of men that God instituted the Sabbath in Eden. And so, long as the fact that he is our Creator continues to be a reason why we should worship him, so long the Sabbath will continue as its sign and memorial. Had the Sabbath been universally kept, man's thoughts and affections would have been led to the Creator as the object of reverence and worship. And that's what you mentioned. And there would never have been an idolater, an atheist, or an infidel. The keeping of the Sabbath is a sign of the loyalty to the true God, him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Follows that the message which commands men to worship God and keep his commandments will especially call upon them to keep the fourth commandment. And you can see in nature, and I mean, our viewers can go have a look, you know, you can go do some research on this, but there's been a lot of sightings where nature keeps the Sabbath as well. You know, we've seen beavers keeping the Sabbath. And this was tested over many, many months. I don't know how long it was. Could have been a year or years. Every Sabbath day, the beavers did not work. They did not do anything. They were in their little burrows and they didn't come out. I'm not saying it's perfectly, you know, but this was a fact. It happened. And even bees, there's been signs in nature of this phenomena.
Well, I've heard about stories about oxes that also kept the Sabbath day, who refused to work or who did everything they should have in the week so that it wasn't necessary to work on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
And even dogs keeping it in the Amazon. And there's so many examples if you start
looking. I believe, the Bible says it, but I believe as well that there are traces of this in nature that we don't look out for because this was the natural phenomena in the beginning of time, you know, in the beginning of this world. That's what happened. It was instituted. Adam obviously provided names and everything for the animals, and they kept the Sabbath.
Yeah.
They kept the Sabbath. And it's permeated throughout the earth. Obviously, there's a lot of confusion, a lot of inconsistencies, but it still shows.
I quickly want to just jump back to Psalm 8, verse 3.
Mm.
So what are we to do in this world that is drenched with sin? So Psalm 8, verse 3 says, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained."
Mm.
If you look up at night and you see this magnificent
array of stars,
the light that it's emitting, one brighter than the other one. In letter 38, we read, "Every shining star which God has placed in the heavens obey his mandate and gives its distinctive measure of light to make beautiful the heavens at night. So let every converted soul show the measure of light committed to him. And as it shines forth, the light will increase and grow brighter.
Hmm.
Give out your light. Pour forth your beams mirrored from heaven."
Yeah.
And that is what we are to do. We need to help set the record straight of what is the character of God.
The character of God. Yeah.
What we have received, that light from God, the truth from God, we have to show other people
reflect His character.
Yeah.
Brings us back to the sanctuary message.
Mm.
Yeah. With the light, the seven lamps. Yeah.
Yeah. With the example we live.
Yeah.
We have to incorporate this whole thing into our lives.
Mm.
We can't read the truth, say, okay, yes, I believe it's true, and not live it out.
And it's not enough for us, I believe, being an example is obvious. It's the process of sanctification.
Mm.
He forms us in his own image, you know, back to the original character. But we also have to spread the word, you know. We have to go out there and we have to make fishers of men. We really do. And especially in the times we're living in.
Mm.
Living in dire times. I mean, we saw ourselves when we drove past San Francisco, you know, just how much need of God these people are. And in all the countries that we are in, the whole world has become problematic. God has been removed. And in these last days, there's so much confusion. If we don't understand the war between Satan and Jesus, we're going to be left behind. We're going to miss it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do we know God created us? It's always a difficult question.
Mm.
And I think I'll answer that with yet another, another quote from in the gospel. The gospel in creation, spirit of prophecy.
Mm.
Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. How do we know how the worlds were made? By faith.
Mm.
That's how we know it. Faith gives knowledge. That is its special work. Faith gives knowledge. Knowledge gives wisdom. In Proverbs 9, I believe. That is a special work. Knowledge gained by faith is not vague and uncertain. but is the most absolutely certain of any knowledge. Wow. In fact, there is no real knowledge that does not spring from faith. Wow, that's deep. Knowledge that comes in any other way is speculation.
Wow.
That's something to mull over.
It is.
Any other way except faith is speculation. Yeah. Well, it's true. Sorry, I'm just going to finish it. Yeah. The unbelieving soul regards faith as folly. Yeah. But the faithful soul knows that faith makes for it a solid foundation. Whoever will believe may know.
Well, even if you want to believe in evolution, you have to take a leap of faith.
Yeah.
Because it's a theory.
Yeah.
There's no facts in it.
True.
So you have to have faith to believe in the Bible, to believe in creation.
Yeah.
And you need to contemplate and decide for yourself which one are you going to follow. Something where you're just here by chance, or something where you have a purpose, where you were created because of a loving creator.
Yeah. You see the sword that the Word of God creates, the division.
Mm.
The difference is, and I'm talking from my own experience, is I believe in God because I can feel Him working in me.
Mm.
When you look at the old gods in the ancient times, they also felt something. They believed, you know, they went to war believing that God A or God B would look over them, look after them. That was a false, those were false gods.
Mm.
And they believed they were going to go to Valhalla and all these places, pagan gods. And that's sad because that's not biblical. That's not the truth.
Mm.
Now, you are righteousness through faith, justification, sanctification. You can feel your life changing. You can hear Him speaking to you. Maybe not hear Him speaking to you, but you can feel His presence in your life.
Mm.
And when you look back in your life, you can see how He's changed you.
Mm.
That's why I believe in Him, because of the journey and from where He has led me, from where He's taken me, and where He has met me to where I am today.
Yeah. You will see fruits in your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're a different person.
You are.
And it's so sad when people can't distinguish between nature and the God of nature. If it wasn't for God, nothing on this earth would be alive. Mm. Everything would die.
Yeah.
In Him is life.
In Him is life. And that brings me to the other point is, God is, and you'll see it throughout the Gospels as well, God is above creation.
Mm.
It's not intertwined with creation. He is the creator.
Mm.
You know, when you look at how He calmed the sea, Jesus stood there, He calmed the sea. He commands nature to do His bidding.
Mm.
When He walked on the water with Peter, that brings us back to the faith element.
Mm.
You know, He is the creator. Peter took his eyes off God, off Jesus. He looked away for a second. He lost faith and he sunk. It's very symbolic.
Yeah.
That's the essence. You know, he is above. He's sitting above creation.
Well, yeah. I've personally experienced where people would say they hope it rains, and they will pray that it rain, and they will pray that it rains that evening, but then they would go out and say, the wind's not right. So if the wind's not right, there's no chance that it will rain.
Mm.
So they look at the laws and things
of nature
and they say...
Science. Yeah.
And science. And they say, okay, because of this, God, it won't rain. Because God isn't powerful enough, because He set these laws there.
Mm.
And if the laws is there, nothing else will happen.
That's exactly what happened at the flood. Mm. Exactly. They said, there's no way. They were laughing. They were mocking Noah because he said it's going to rain. There was no such thing back then. Mm. You had other means of irrigation back then. So, and they used science to prove that it's impossible to rain. Mm. He's above nature. That's the whole thing, you know. And when it says, I just want to read this little piece, there will come a time, we're talking about the end time, when the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, when every island shall flee away. Flee away from what? From the word. When every island shall flee away, and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. But even in that awful time, the Christian can say, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. Mm. The same thing again.
We serve a God who cannot be placed in a box.
Yeah.
People in this world want to place him in a box. Okay, this is the God that I serve.
Yeah.
But if you study it out in the Bible, you realize that our infinite minds cannot
comprehend
him.
We will not be able to right now. And guess what? For the first how many years and forever, we can comprehend him for sure. We can, but we will never get to the point where we fully understand his character and comprehend his character.
So there's this idea out there that Satan wants the world to see that it's a vengeful God. It's a God that doesn't care about you.
He's so exacting.
Yeah.
He's so arbitrary. He just does things as he sees fit.
Yeah.
There's no plan. There's no structure. But he's all about structure. And just go back to that. It says in the Bible, the earth is his footstool. So he is above creation, yes. Marlo, have you seen these little deer around here? I haven't seen these types of deers. Hey, wow. We don't have this in South Africa.
No.
It's absolutely beautiful. And they're watching us. They're not afraid.
This is something quite special.
You think they're tame?
I doubt it, but what's the chances of doing something on creation and we see a little deer walking by?
If you're quiet in your thoughts with God in creation, it almost seems like he doesn't have fear. He doesn't need to fear us. What is the relationship between the creator and the creation? What should it be?
How special and wonderfully made are we?
For sure. Cannot neglect.
I could look at this for hours. It just takes your mind away. It takes your mind away from your busy life. Everything that's happening out there, everything that you have to do. And everyone knows that we are made in the image of God.
Yeah.
And yet we are above the other creations of the earth. We're above the deer. We're above
We worship, if you think about it, we worship idols. Anything that is not created by God is not to be worshipped, is not to be something where we create a bond with, that we bond with as a human being. This is creation. If you look at this is where I find calmness and peace. I could find it in front of a TV watching a National Geographic, I guess, these days, and for some time now, hearing about millions and millions of years ago is something that just deters me completely.
It's not even 10 minutes into the program and you already hear about the millions and billions of years.
Correct. And it brings me to the question, what is our purpose as created beings? You know, what is my purpose? As soon as I started working for the Lord, I realized that nothing else matters. No other vacancy, no other job that I've had has any meaning. Nothing at all. it's just to make money and more money, and we know where that leads. We know that is the love of money is a problem. We know that. So my purpose is to serve Him. My purpose is to get back in touch with who He is and what He loves and His character. And that's what I'm going to do in my life going forward, yeah.
And when you meet God, when you discover Him and you realize you're a created being, you want to change. Mm. You want to change towards the character of the one who created you. Yeah. Because that character of God, the one who created you, can't be compared with anything out here.
Yeah.
Even though this is breathtaking, it is magnificent.
Mm.
It is totally pale in comparison with God.
It is. 100%. This is His creation that has been tainted over a matter of 6,000 years or so.
Mm.
This doesn't even hold any water compared to the creation of Eden, even. But even then, that is not what we serve. We don't serve creation. You know, that's paganism, and that's where Satan has led us astray as well. You know, worshiping the sun, worshiping the moon, worshiping the stars. We don't worship that. We admire that. We are creation as well. But guess what? People out there, Hollywood, everywhere, they all worship other people. Creation, once again. We really need to get people away from that. We need them to understand how amazing God is and how important it is for them to now focus their attention on God before it's too late.
And how great is it that God, who could do anything in this world, who can spread the gospel on His own without our help, wants to incorporate us in this. He wants us to be a light to others. His light needs to go from us and enlighten this world.
Yeah.
Help people to see the hope which is in Christ.
If we don't do it, the stones will cry out. Hey? He will use anything, but He's using us. He wants us to be part of this.
Yeah.
Be part of His decision make, you know, part of His judgment, part of everything. During the 1,000 years in heaven, we will be judging angels.
Yeah.
Talking about the evil angels.
So we shouldn't be discouraged. We shouldn't lose hope. We need to look at nature and see this wonderful Creator. We need to contemplate our lives and see how we can bring this into unity with God and allow Jesus to work in our lives.
And then use the talents that He's given us. Don't bury them. Yeah. Use it to save others. Every time I think, you know, God is leading me and I'm so happy and He's changing me, all I can think of is it's not enough. You know, if I am saved, you know, God says, how much more important is it to go and fetch the lost sheep out there? And that is what is important. And we need to stay faithful to God. He's given me life. He's given me purpose. And I need to repay Him and be obedient to Him. That is my life mission, and that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Hey? We shouldn't be afraid to let our light shine. And we shouldn't be afraid of God. We shouldn't be afraid of our Creator.
No.
We shouldn't be afraid to show the character of God to this world.
Yeah. I urge everyone to get to know God in more detail. You know, understand who He is. He's a loving God. He's given us everything. Everything we have, He's given us. And most of us in this world, we run away from Him. And we run after something that does not matter at all. Does not give us life. Yeah. Hey?
We lose purpose, we lose focus, we lose hope in this life.
So let's pray for everyone, all our viewers out there. Let's all pray together for the world. you know, for our church, for everyone out there. And let's hope that we can make a difference as a small group, but also that other people will come to God. Yeah, great. Will you pray for us?
Yeah, I will.
Great, thanks.
Our Heavenly Father, when we look at this magnificent forest around us, we can see its beauty and your hand in all of this. I pray that we can speak to other people and tell them about your glory, about your character. Be with every single person out there and help them to let that light which is in them shine forth, and let it illuminate the people around them. Push away the darkness so that everyone can see you as their wonderful Creator and Savior. I pray this in Jesus' name alone. Amen.
Amen.